This is WONY FM Oneonta. Good evening, everybody. This is Alumni Weekend here. Gene Falk, along with Joel Frank. Kim is here. Kim. And we have a new helper here because I really need help here at the board. We'll give a shout out for Lucas. He gave us, he was just absolutely phenomenal. And appreciate that. So next up, we have a song you picked, Joel. You want to talk a little bit about this?
Oh, yeah. You know, it wasn't mic'd up before. Just wanted to make sure
we gave a shout out.
We gave a shout out to Lucas, but we weren't mic'd up. So, we're mic'd up now.
That's me again.
All mic'd up. It's a lot of fun. Okay. So, you know, when I get to the week before, a show, I'll listen to things, I'll hear things, and I'll say, gee, this is something I might want to play. And, you know, I'll get a much longer list than I'll ever be able to play. But this is a song that I remember listening to in the early 70s on AM radio. I had a transistor radio that I used to put under my pillow and listen to WABC or whatever the radio station was. And this was a group called the Five Stair Steps. Because I think this was like one of their only, they only had a couple of hits, but the Five Stair Steps were siblings, and when they lined up, their heads were of a certain height that they looked like stair steps, and of course, there were five of them. And this was a song called Ooh, Ooh.
Baby?
Ooh, ooh, baby.
Ooh, ooh, baby.
Ooh, ooh, child,
ooh,
I think.
Ooh, child, okay.
Yeah, let's hope that's...
My cue has disappeared from me, so okay, ooh, 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 child.
Is ooh, ooh, child, okay.
Here on WONY.
So let's take us back to the early 70s.
Here we go.
Five Stair Steps.
get easier.
That's that was Ooh Child, Five Stair Steps.
Five Stair Steps.
Really nice song, Joel.
Doesn't it take you back?
It takes me way, way back.
Remember One Bad Apple? It's like that kind of genre, but this was a little bit not as popular, maybe a little bit hipper.
Yeah.
Right? Because we always used to like the hip stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about the hip stuff that we used to like.
And we cannot this year be in WONY, be in Oneonta, and not talk about the Grateful Dead.
Can't not talk about. I'm old enough to have seen Jerry.
I've seen Jerry, too.
So we talk about the Grateful Dead now as almost nostalgic, although the Dead & Company played for many years, but with the loss of Bob Weir, and Phil. Not too long ago, mm-hmm. and Billy
and Donna,
has
been, yeah.
and Donna and
Billy's sick.
And
yeah,
Billy has not been been playing as much, and we had Donna. So there's been a lot of change to the band, which we used to fondly recall talking to as the boys. They were the boys, and then Donna joined, and if you were like me, we had an adjustment to make because and I think during an interview, I don't remember who said it, the Dead was never planned to have, not that it was anti-woman or female, but the sound that they were curating didn't take into account a female voice.
Yeah, I am not a Donna hater.
Yeah.
I like Donna. Donna was not served very well by the big sound system, I think, that they had, the microphones that they used in 73 and 74, which was, the middle of her tenure, in the band. I think, some of the later stuff, if you see, the 77, 78,
But you think about Muscle Shoals and Elvis and the kinds.
That's what she
I think did. She what really stood out when she played. She sang back up on Suspicious Minds from Elvis Presley. One of my favorite Elvis Presley songs, but the 50s era, that stuff was a little bit before my time. But I remember first really enjoying him listening to Suspicious Minds. Yeah. And there she is playing with the Dead. And I don't know about you, but we saw lots of shows. I was very fortunate when I was here I wasn't as active, Mr. GM, with the institution of WONY. I did lots of shows, and of course we both worked in a commercial radio downtown, and I was on the concert committee. And I remember that the Dead were playing in Utica, I think it was 81 maybe, and one of the music professors, I heard, had wanted to see the band. And Dr. Burnsworth, Charles Burnsworth. And I ended up getting us passes to Utica to see him. And it was his first Grateful Dead show. We went to Utica, had a great time. He, in turn, invited me to play golf, a round of golf with him at the Oneonta Country Club, which is nice. And I'm on an Oneonta group in Facebook, and there was somebody who was a Burnsworth, and it turned out to be his son. And I chimed in and said, by the way, if that's your dad, I took him to see the Grateful Dead. And he said, my dad always said he went, but we never believed him. But that was really, that we heard music coming out, those were the guys.
Those were.
That's what we saw.
And it has incredible staying power. I mean, I remember I was in Madison, Wisconsin for something for work in 2005. And we were walking down the street, and there was a store called Sunshine Daydream with the Dead blaring out. And I was with a colleague who was about 7 years older than I was. And he just looked at it, and he said, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And, this is 10 years after Jerry was gone. And I remember taking my daughter up to college, and hanging out of one of the dorm rooms was a banner with Steely on it, you know, the Steely face, you know, iconography. And it's just the staying power, you know, is just amazing. And I think, you know, Jerry Garcia, I think, you know, wasn't really concerned about anything other than the moment, or he said he wasn't, at least. But Bob Weir started talking about legacy.
Mm-hmm.
He started talking about 200 or 300 years from now.
That's right.
He would love to see the Grateful Dead still be a part of Americana.
And he was a big fan of all kinds of music. I remember reading when he took his daughters to see Taylor Swift,
yeah,
and how he enjoyed that. We talk about how central they were to our lives. I met my wife because someone said, someone we had both worked for said, I know this guy. He likes the Grateful Dead, and you like the Grateful Dead, so why don't I put you on the phone together? And here it is 37 years later. We're still together.
Yeah.
My son was born, Lenox Hill Hospital, and we had one of those boom boxes, Europe 72, and Morning Dew. I heard a child cry this morning, and then my son was born, and we heard his cry. I still have that cassette of the birth from that.
Uh-huh.
And also think about, from my time, I was very fortunate. One of my friends in high school, a guy named Bob Strano, was in a band on Long Island called Volunteers. Mm. He was so into the Grateful Dead. In fact, some of the band members from the Volunteers went off to form Darkstar Orchestra, and he got soundboards at the time of the Dead, so I still have cassettes, wow, that he burned for me. Well, because you don't burn the cassettes, but he dubbed for me. He had everything on A-track, so I have all the clicks, you know, from, yeah, going to track to track. And sadly, he passed away. And someone else who I didn't know at the time, but I worked with in a summer back after college, we reconnected because of Facebook. We actually got to see each other at Citi Field at a Dead show a few years ago. Sadly, contracted ALS. Used to have a wonderful story about Roseland, where he and Jerry went up the fire escape to get out of the way of some crowds. Wonderful guitar player, too. Passed away. So we're also seeing losses that are in our time.
Absolutely.
And contemporaries of ours, which is sad. So
yes,
we always go back to the music and think about how that meant, what that meant for us in our life and our experience. So,
right. So we're going to do a couple of Grateful Dead songs here. Cassidy, which...
Cassidy, I think, if I recall correctly, when Bob Weir was asked years ago if he were to have to, during in an interview, to think of what song would he want to be remembered by, or maybe be remembered after his passing by, this was the song that he thought of. And of course, and it's from Reckoning, and I believe Reckoning was recorded at the Radio City shows, was the acoustic show, and I was thrilled to be able to take my sister for her birthday in October. What was it, 1980?
Those were 1980 shows.
1980.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So we went back and saw that. I don't know why I was home in October of 1980.
I don't know. I think I was a Donianta,
but
if I remember.
No, but I remember going to Radio City and,
yeah,
seeing the Grateful Dead. So it had to be, but. Yeah,
and the second one we're going to do, it's a Phil Lesh song, actually. Phil also passed away just a few years ago. I remember it was October 2024. I was in one of the most beautiful places in the world when I heard that Phil passed away. I was in Zion National Park.
And, God, what a glorious place. Spectacular place.
And I saw that Phil had passed away. I was sad. But I was just in a glorious place.
Yeah.
And, and so that just meant something to me.
Special.
Box of Rain was actually something that Phil associates with the death of his father.
Correct.
Because it was written around the time that his father was passing away.
Yeah.
It is the last song that the Grateful Dead played as the Grateful Dead with Jerry Garcia
in Chicago Soldier Field.
1995.
And do you remember the last words Jerry said coming off stage of that show?
What a hoot.
Yeah, always a hoot.
Always a hoot.
Always a hoot.
Yeah. Box of Rain, you know, it has a little bit of different instrumentation as well. It has Jerry Garcia actually on piano.
Mm-hmm.
It has Phil Lesh on acoustic guitar. and a couple of new riders. You know, right. we're also playing, you know, playing on that song.
Of course, Jerry was a new rider.
And Jerry was a new rider. And I think Phil was.
I think Phil was, too.
Phil was, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I saw an interview with Phil. She said that, you know, they asked him, you know, why did you play guitar on this? And he said, I didn't want it to sound like the Grateful Dead. Hmm. But honestly, to me and the era that we were in, you know, where we had the albums and, you know, the two studio albums from, you know, 1970 were the albums, mm-hmm. if you had studio albums. To me, this is what the Grateful Dead sounds like.
Yeah.
So let's do these two songs. Yeah. Cassidy, you know, from 1980, Box of Rain, the studio version, 1970, here on WONY.
Thank you. falling from a heavy sky.
Rain on WONY FM. And Joel, could you introduce our guest?
Before I do, we have a guest punched up, but I also want to, I left some details out. We played this song from 1970, Ooh Ooh Child from the Five Stair Steps, and we have some very knowledgeable listeners here. Mm-hmm. Jeff Lewis, who is one of the boys back in town, who isn't here this year, reminded me that this was released in 1970 as an uplifting anthem of comfort during a period of significant social and political unrest. And, needless to say, those were days of great music, right?
Absolutely.
I think every time, and I also got another a text from someone who has been noticing throughout the weekend that the different alumni are playing different. It's interesting to see the genre and the time mm-hmm. period of the different alumni. I'd like to think that we're playing all kinds of different stuff.
I think we are.
I always thought that we DJs at WONY had the best of the musical taste of everybody on campus. And in fact, we were the trendsetters. And when we think about the Grateful Dead, for many of us, myself included, it's the first time, except for the Beverly Hillbillies theme, that I might have heard bluegrass music.
Yeah.
And I was, because they had a bluegrass kind of a tinge to it. And we have, calling in from North Carolina, the land of bluegrass, Arnie Solomon, who I was privileged to be able to be a housemate of. And many of the folks in Oneonta got to see Arnie Solomon for the first time when he played with David Bromberg when he was at Hartwick College. I remember, did you see that concert, Gene?
I don't think I did.
Don't see that concert. No. So, but Arnie, are you hearing us? Are you able to talk?
I just listened to you for a brief second, and now I hear you again.
Well, Arnie, you were legendary up here in Oneonta to be somebody who played with David Bromberg, to be somebody who had his first mandolin lesson from Bill Monroe, and just to be a dear friend of mine that through the years, on and off, we haven't been in touch as we would have liked, but like today, we pick up the phone, and it's like just has stood still. So what do you remember particularly about being in your days in Oneonta, the High Street Boys? A wonderful band playing up here.
Yeah.
But what are some of your fondest memories of being up in Oneonta and playing, and maybe even from your playing career, which I'm fortunate to have a front seat at, and in fact a front seat on my porch with you playing music on our porch, which was so wonderful. But what do you think?
Well, I appreciate that, Joel. Of course, you mentioned the High Street Boys, and that was just such a great experience for me. Just coming up to Oneonta, I did not expect to get into a bluegrass band. I didn't really know what to expect coming to Oneonta, and I got in that band like the first week I came to Oneonta. I found out that there was a bluegrass band there, and they actually needed a banjo player. I wasn't really a banjo player, although I could play the banjo. So I played the banjo with them, and then some mandolin, Will Lund, who led the group. We played a lot of twin mandolins on tunes, and I did get to play some mandolin with them, but I was the banjo player for the group. But that was a great experience. Of course, you mentioned me playing with David Bromberg, and that was real. That was real thrilling.
But you'd known him. You'd known him for many years from the Philly Folk Festival, didn't you?
That's exactly right. Boy, you have a good memory. I remember him.
Come on, Arnie, it was only 60 years ago, 50 years ago, right?
Well, then you have a really great memory then.
And
I was very fortunate to get to know David Bromberg. So when I showed up at Hartwick College that evening, he was and saw that I was there. He was happy to have me come up on the stage with him. I think he was a little, I think he thought his band members might've been a little bit hesitant to have a guest, but he got me up there, and I didn't really know the song. It was crazy. I didn't really know the song he was playing. And I remember him standing by my side as I was playing my solo, and he's calling out the chords to me while I'm playing my solo so I could get through the solo. And so that was pretty. That was a pretty crazy time. And there was another time when he actually played at SUNY Oneonta. I think it might have been. I'm not sure if it was after I graduated, but he played. There was another time he actually played at SUNY Oneonta, and the entire High Street Boys band went on stage with him to play a
song. Wow,
that's awesome!
It was great being. It was great being able to know David Bromberg and and getting a chance to play with him a couple of times.
Now, this is a little bit, you know, tangential, but we were talking about the Grateful Dead. Was there any connection that you had? I don't remember listening to a lot of Grateful Dead with you. Of course, you knew, I'm sure, a lot of the songs they played from their origins, right, in bluegrass. But do you have any recollections, right, particularly about the Grateful Dead or that, you know, that universe of music?
Well, I remember when the album, when Jerry put out the album, Olden in the Way.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And I thought that was so cool because it seemed like, you know, with me being really into bluegrass music, I really wasn't familiar with the Dead because I was so into playing bluegrass. I wasn't that familiar with the Dead until I came to Oneonta, where so many people were into the Dead. And then I started coming
to right. You were a minority if you didn't like the Dead.
Right, but then I started liking them. It was almost hard to walk down the hall in the dorm without hearing somebody play the Grateful Dead.
I think that's right.
But once people heard you, or if you were playing in the quad or by the library or you were outside, there were just groups of people that would. And I don't remember exactly how I got lucky enough to have you. Maybe it was because of Steve Boughton or something, but it was a real treat to be a housemate with you, and to have you bring me to Galax and back me up as a singer in the folk song competition, and then
to play.
Yeah, you accompanied me, and I sang the 1 year, and the second year I went back, I played. I think Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, and truthfully,
that's so cool. You did the folk. Folk song contest at Galax. That's incredible.
And they had to be, what, you think maybe a couple hundred, 1,000 people there that I was able to perform in front of? And I only remember one, and he was a guy in a lawn chair in the front row going, "You got it, you got it." Because, of course, I wasn't the caliber player of anybody who should have been there. And the only reason, truthfully, I did it was because I got to camp for free. If you were a contestant, you got to camp for free. But boy, what a great time!
That's right. A lot of people would say, "The song I'm going to do is called the Get My Money Back Blues." Of course,
you know, that's so much fun.
A lot of people did it to get their money back or the camping fee back, whatever. But there were probably there might have been 1,000 people in the audience.
Yeah,
and.
Well, it was a life.
Yeah, that was great that you did. That was great that you did that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and you being with you, knowing you, opened up a world to me that I treasure. And one of my favorite memories was when Tony Trischka and his band at the time,
right.
I can't remember the band's name at the time, but they were at our house. They were cooking. I remember Dee Dee Weiland was cooking up some stuff, and they signed an album which somehow was lost to someplace. Somebody took it that they wanted it more than I did. But that was a real treat.
Yeah, it was called. He called the group Skyline.
Skyline, that's right. And that was a terrific album. And of course, the Downsville Bluegrass Festival that we went to, where we saw Mark O'Connor, who became he was like a kid then, and of course became a tremendous talent and played on so many people's stuff as you did, Arnie. Are you still playing these days? I forgot to ask you when we talked earlier.
I don't play professionally. That's a good question. People ask me that a lot. I don't really play professional jobs anymore. There's a lot of, you know, living here in Central North Carolina, big bluegrass area. There's a lot of local jam sessions that I attend, and they're kind of fun, and some are better than others, and so I've been doing some of that, but not really playing professional jobs anymore like I used to do quite a bit.
Well, I have to say, Arnie,
you mentioned...
Go ahead.
And also about Tony Trischka, you probably remember him and his band were kind enough to accompany me when I wanted to make a three-song demo tape.
Huh.
You know, back then we made tapes.
Yep.
And his band, and I think it was it done in the Woney studio?
And
I'm not sure who the engineer was.
I don't think it was me. I had you in the Woney studio.
I don't think it was you.
I don't think it was me.
I can't remember the guy's name who was the engineer. And they did a great job. I did three songs. And they, of course, Tony played banjo and his guitar player and the bass player, Larry Cohn. They did a great job.
Yeah.
That was Danny.
Danny was the guitar player.
Danny White. Yep. That's right. Danny White. Really nice guy.
Yep. And they were all super nice.
They didn't ask for any money. And they did those three songs with me that came out really good on the tape.
We're going to get to your. Did you do more than one CD? Because we're going to play some music that you did end up recording professionally. Did you do another one besides that, Arnie Solomon?
No. What happened was before the CD came out, I did. You know, those were in the days when everybody had cassettes. Mm. So I did two cassette tapes, and then the CD became a compilation of most of the material on the two CDs. I mean, on the two cassettes. So it's basically two cassettes, which became one CD.
Gotcha. So we're going to play something. I'm going to ask you about it in a couple of minutes, but I know you're getting ready to take off and travel to England and reconnect with somebody who wrote a book about some songs, I think you were talking to me about.
He wrote some books about the famous folk singer Woody Guthrie. And then I just ordered his most recent book. I haven't had a chance to start it. I got it right here. And it is called, I just ordered this on Amazon. It is called American Song and Struggle from Columbus to World War II, A Cultural History. And his name is Will Kaufman. And Will and I performed together as kids a couple of times at the Philadelphia Folk Festival. But we have not seen each other in 53 years, and I'm going to see him in about a week and a half after not seeing him for 53 years.
Well, I don't think Lancashire is going to be the same after you guys get together. And you're reminding me.
Sure. I don't think we're going to play there. He said way out of playing shape. He's been too busy writing books.
Yeah, but I do remember that wonderful trip we took the summer of 1985, backpacking. All we had was a ticket to London, and then a ticket back from Luxembourg, and we spent 3 weeks together and 3 weeks apart, and played in pubs in Dublin and Doolin. We played in a little place called Doolin.
I
still can't believe that you put your legs over the edge of the Cliffs of Moher like that.
Yeah, I remember being there. That was incredible.
I was crawling on my belly, and I think I got 10 feet to the edge, and that was enough for me, and you're swinging your legs over the side. But the other thing that we did, you got to busk in Paris in the Metro. And tell me about this song, because we're going to play the song Metro that you wrote when I think you said you were 17, and we ended up busking.
When I was 17. Yes, when I was 17, when I graduated high school, a friend of mine in homeroom of all places, we planned this trip to Europe in the homeroom. Nobody believed we were really going to do it. And we went to Europe right after we graduated, and we were in Paris during one point of the trip, and I was in the subway, well, the metro, as they say, and I wrote the tune Metro in the metro. And then when you have a better memory than I do. You said I played it again in the Metro when we went in 1985.
Eight years later. That was a heck of a trip. Right. Of course, the thing that I always like and associate with you, Arnie, and really just a spectacular, I think, thing is that your first mandolin lesson was from none other than Bill Monroe. And what was that like?
Yeah, and I very vaguely remember that. He tried to teach me Lonesome Road Blues of all songs, the one you sang at Galax. But you know, I couldn't hardly press down the strings. I couldn't hardly accomplish anything during that lesson, but I gave it a try.
And you have a story for that we're still talking about 60 years later. Pretty damn incredible. Well, I hope in the not too distant future, Arnie, we can reconnect. We talked earlier. I haven't been down to that area of North Carolina, and it would be wonderful to see you again. And I thank Gene for being such a good sport. He's with us, and you remember
I do, and I remember the High Street Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is awesome. Yeah.
This is all awesome. Right? This,
everything's awesome today.
it's just awesome. Even Nate, our guy, is really awesome. We're going to go. We're going to play some original music from Arnie Solomon from his debut and final CD, right?
Yeah.
Unless you maybe will get back in the studio and do another one. Arnie, great to talk to you. Have a wonderful, wonderful trip back to England and seeing your relatives that, of course, I got to meet their parents when we went there. And it's just great connecting with you, and wish you all the best, buddy. Thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate it all. It was great talking with you. Thanks for having me on WONY. I remember playing on WONY several years ago when you had me as a guest. And I'm glad to be on it again. And thanks for having me.
So if you could just take us out and introduce your song, Arnie, we'll hopefully catch up soon. Now, this is the time to introduce your song.
Okay. Well, this, I believe, was my first or one of my very first original tunes that I wrote, and I decided to give it a jazzy feel, and it's called Metro, of course named after the Paris Metro station, you know, the Paris subway system. So the tune is called Metro.
Thanks, Arnie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Molly Tuttle and her rendition of She's a Rainbow here on WONY. Joel, can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you.
You can hear me.
No, I can't hear you through the headphones.
Oh, okay. Are we on the... Yeah, let's do that one. Can you hear now?
I don't know.
Anyway,
I hear him.
Okay,
I can hear him.
So
what can we say about Molly Tuttle?
Molly Tuttle and Arnie Solomon.
So from Bill Monroe, we have a legacy here from Bill Monroe, one of the original bluegrass boys.
Yeah.
Right? The founder of bluegrass to contemporary bluegrass with this spectacular musician, Molly Tuttle.
She is.
And a whole genre, her, Sierra Hull, Billy Strings.
Yeah.
Taking bluegrass music mainstream.
Yeah.
Essentially. Selling out arenas. It's just fantastic.
It is fantastic.
That was a wonderful cover she did of that Rolling Stone song.
It really is. And, you know, I mean, again, you know, going back to the Grateful Dead, I mean, there is a connection between, you know, sort of that psychedelic music, mm-hmm. you know, which was what Jerry Garcia used to call a conversational mm-hmm. music. That's what they do. And bluegrass, which is a conversational type of music.
And wasn't that, if I recall, Neil, you may remember, was that on Satanic Mystery, Satanic Majesty?
Yes, yes.
So that was the response from the Stones purportedly to Sergeant Pepper's, which was the genesis of that whole psychedelic kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you guys listen to the Dead, I mean, there's so much, it's so bluegrass.
A lot of his blues and Americana everything. And folk and rock. All of it.
Everything.
Do you guys remember a group? They just played and I missed them. I couldn't get to see them. It's called NRBQ, the New Rhythm and Blues Quartet.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, also, one other group that you guys may remember, I missed them too, and this bothers me. It was the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Oh, yeah. I saw them, got to meet them, actually, a couple years ago. And there's a local guy named Doug Decker. When they played here, I don't know, about 5-6 years ago, he got to join them at the end for... The Wait.
They played The Wait? Did they really?
Yeah, they played The Wait, yeah. So
I love their version.
They played here at the Oneonta Theater.
I love their version of...
Just super, super nice guys. And gosh, time flies by.
Time does.
We do have two more songs, if any listeners are still with us, that we wanted to play. And I just want to give some thanks and some shout out to Nate, who's been terrific.
Yeah.
And we want to plug away. He's going to be at WONY for a couple more years. And then hopefully coming back as an alumni like we have for the past 30, 40 years. And big shout out to Neil Fryman here, Neely B, who was the first alumni coordinator for Alumni Weekends and ran it for 19 years. Just a terrific legacy that this club, this station has, that brings joy to us and, from what we see, some good feelings from the current staff who are here and the current students. But
who we have to thank again for, you know, turning over the radio station, helping us all, helping particularly those of us who have never used this kind of equipment before.
You've been fantastic.
Been fantastic. And, you know, this is still a fantastic place, a fantastic radio station. I actually always say what really does blow my mind is you're not just broadcasting to Oneonta, you're actually broadcasting to the world. So, you know, if anybody is out there who somehow, you know, sort of stumbled across this, you know, WONY is just something really, really special. And it's worth a listen. And, you know, just an absolutely fantastic.
By the way, Gene, you're going to have to come back next year because it's the 65th anniversary of the radio station.
I do have to come back next year.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, as long as, you know, if the body is willing.
Yeah.
There's just that at this age. But 65, wow.
Yeah.
It's just a very, very special place. Oneonta is just a very special place.
And sadly, as we were talking about to earlier, and as I reflect, having been at the funeral early this morning of a cousin who passed away at age 47, it's a bittersweet, but we think about and cherish the memories that we have. We lost another pretty terrific and maybe under known artist, and all of the people he played with, Dave Mason, who was also booked here, I think I might have said earlier, and then unfortunately didn't make it. But one of his most popular songs, and I think if we ask any musician, as Bob Weir said, thinking about the legacy, what's it going to be like in 200 years? What's the music going to play? I think this might still be a song that is played, and rather than the sadness of not having somebody with us, we still have the memories and the music, and the music makes us feel all right, doesn't it?
It does. Feeling all right from Dave Mason and WONY.
All right. Here's a song. This Bob Hope at Thanks for the Memories, and I got a song I wrote called Feeling All Right. We're all 19 years old. This thing never stops. Films, movies, commercials. You know this song, so if you want to join in on the chorus, I want you to join in on this. be all right.